welcome to the Barely Living Dread Girls podcast, where we like to get high and talk about horror movies. I'm Casey.
And I'm Jess. And we are kicking off our monster movie madness March slash maybe these are coming out in April.
Nope, all March. All Perfect. Four will be in March. Yep. Perfect. So monster movie March madness.
Yeah. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam, bam. And we are going to be covering one of my personal favorite movies of the genre.
Might be the best monster movie.
Honestly, it horrifies me, it empowers me, and I'm ready to fucking talk about it.
Yes.
And we're talking about The Descent.
Yes! So crazy, so scary. It was released in 2005. It is a group of, six or seven women?
Pretty sure.
I think it's six. Who range from absolute best friends to sisters to just meeting, proteges of other friends. And it is a movie about friendship and specifically among adult women, which is not an easy thing to navigate as an adult sometimes, depending on who your friends are, which is a theme in this movie big time. Trust.
Betrayal.
Loyalty. Betrayal is a huge theme. And then, of course, that's kind of the underlying emotional... Yes, sisterhood. That's the underlying emotional part of it. And then, of course, there's the outward claustrophobia that is so prevalent from, I mean, from 20 minutes into this movie until she crawls out at the end. I mean, it is batshit crazy.
And I think, and I said this to my friend when we were watching this movie earlier, I was like, this movie didn't even need creatures to be an interesting or a terrifying movie.
Nope.
It could have just been this group of six strong women spelunking and getting lost and going crazy. And, like, I think there's, like, in the beginning, they're kind of going over a little bit of, like, how the darkness can, like, affect you. And, you know, you can get extremely claustrophobic, disoriented, hallucinations.
Trauma. Trauma's a big theme here, and how that can affect you in future traumatic or tense situations. We see, is Holly's not the main one. What's the main character's name?
Sarah.
We see Sarah in the beginning go through a horrible tragedy, and then we see her really freaking out pretty early on in the movie, because she's just not well.
Yeah. For me, yeah. So, this movie, like I said, even without the monsters, would have been still a terrifying, strong, fucking... God, sorry, this movie really freaks me out. It would just be a very uncomfortable movie, regardless.
127 hours version, you know, style, just tense drama. It could have been an incredible drama, thriller.
And it's fucking good horror movie.
But I was going to say, it turned into straight horror. There are certain movies that you can say, well, that's not really horror. It's definitely thriller first, and then maybe horror later. Silence of the Lambs, stuff like that. This is a fucking horror movie, and it is horrifying.
I mean, it starts with, like, a Final Destination type execution. I mean, we have...
After a little bit of cheating drama. First, right before we start, shout out to writer-director Neil Marshall. Holy shit. I haven't seen anything else he's done, but wow. I don't even think he did the second one. The second one's not great.
I haven't seen the second one.
It didn't need to happen. Because there's really cool fan theories about this one that would be... that I would so hold on to and make my headcanon if the second one didn't exist. Hmm. Do you want to hear it now? Do you want me to spoil it for everyone?
Yeah.
My headcanon, if the second movie didn't exist, and huge fan theories that the writer-director didn't necessarily say, no, that's definitely not it, but he didn't say one way or another, is that there were no actual creatures in the cave, and it was Sarah having a PTSD breakdown, murdering all of her friends, and then imagining all of that, which would have been so perfect. However, that also only works... It doesn't even only work. It works better in the version where she gets out, which is the theatrical release. If you watched it in the US, the UK theatrical release and the home video release has an alternate ending where in the car, when she hears that big sound and she gets scared, it doesn't end right there with, like, that jump scare. It ends with her waking back up in the cave and seeing a hallucination of her daughter. So she only dreamt that she made it out.
Oh.
So, those are my fan theories. I like the US version better because she gets out. I don't like the second movie that much. Totally unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, oh, God. Okay. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. So, like Casey was saying, we have this group of, like, these six adult women. We start by seeing them on, like, a whitewater rafting trip together. We realize that they're, like, thrill seekers. You know, they like the adventure. And we see our main character, Sarah. Her husband and their daughter are, like, at the end of the trail to meet them. And we see...
Looks like so much fun. Looks so scary.
Oh, so scary. The water? Water is another theme that I don't trust. I don't trust the water. I don't trust the ocean. I don't trust rapids. I don't.
That's a clue for next week. Anyways. If you don't follow the Instagram, which you should, and if you follow the Instagram, you know what next week's is.
Exactly. But...
Oh, I haven't seen your polish. Sorry, folks. I just want to stop real quick. Ah, oh, my God, I love that color. It's okay. This is the first time she's had her nails done, and I haven't because I'm in school. Sorry. I'm learning to be a nail tech, guys.
Shout out to Haley. She took me to get a mani pedi.
Very cute. I did get a pedi today from my friend Hayes in class.
Yeah.
Shout out to Hayes.
But, fuck. Oh, yeah. So, I've seen this movie so many times. Thank you. I never even really noticed... Juno.
The look?
Juno and, like, the way that she was, like...
Paul.
With, like, flirting with Paul and, like, their, like, connection.
They give a look. There's, like, a moment where they both just kind of look and the whole movie just kind of slows for a second. And then it, like, you know, and then it pans over to whatever, to Sarah and the kid. And, yeah, it's so subtle. And it's definitely something that I missed on the first time. And it's something you could miss until someone brings it up. It gives more weight to what we find out later about Juno and how we find that out. First of all, how we find out, I think, is some of the smartest screenwriting and script writing. Because so it would be good. So easy for, as what's-her-name's dying after she got in the, you know, hit in the neck.
Beth.
Or in the showdown when she pickaxes her in the knee, it could have been a dialogue of, oh, I was sleeping with Paul, or, oh, you were sleeping with Paul. It is so subtle the way it's done. That is peak script writing. That is peak show, don't tell. And I love that. That is so hard to do in writing.
There was no spoken words.
She saw the necklace and she went, and Beth said, it's from Paul. And that was all we had to know. She goes, oh, no. And then that's all you got to know. That's all you need. And yeah. I love that.
It was beautifully done.
But, sorry, I just realized I'm staring directly at a headless rat right now. And that makes me sad.
Oh, God, I don't want to see it. I can't see it. Why am I looking for it?
It's on the tree. Its head's pointing down, except it has no head. We cut off the head of a rat to try to get my snake to eat, because my 11-year-old ball python won't eat. So, Ashley Sharp, I'm coming to you.
Oh, yeah, I see it. I'm not going to be able to look at anything else.
That was me. I just realized what I was looking at.
Okay. So, they're leaving the whitewater rafting. She's like, Paul, why are you being distant? He's like, I'm not! And then just, like, completely... You know, leave it to a man to, like, need to look at you while he's driving to talk to you. I will never understand it. Watch the road, sir. So he crashes into another fucking car. Of course, Final Destination style. These pipes come out.
It's pretty great.
It doesn't show a lot. It's, like, from, like, filmed on top of the car, and you can see, like, like here down on him because he's like the way it's filmed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then
you just see his body kind of twitching, which I never really noticed before. You do get a
back shot from the back of the seat where the poles come through, so you see bloody poles coming at you. But and we don't get a single shot of the child.
Right. We don't know.
Not that I care, but this is not that kind of movie.
Yeah. But when we find out about the child at the hospital. That's which was really a hard scene.
Another amazing scene when she wakes up in the hospital and she's alone and she's running down the hall and the lights are turning off one by one behind. Just this enveloping sense of darkness. Like you said earlier, darkness is a huge theme here. Mm-hmm. And not only literally, but metaphorically inside of yourself, being enveloped in that depression, in that darkness. And it's literally chasing her down the hall until she runs into Beth's arms and breaks down. Because
Beth's like, she's gone. Like, she's gone. And it was... because this woman literally, like, shot up, is ripping, like... because, I mean,
she's got stuff in her arms.
Yeah, she's ripping, like, the IVs out of her arms and the stuff out of her nose.
Because she obviously wasn't pierced by the poles, but she was still in a very serious accident. She
probably had a very, like, in shock when she woke up, you know? Like, the last thing, when you wake up disoriented and having all this shit and you not knowing where your family is, that's got to be horrific.
And then we get a very pointed shot of, as Beth is holding Sarah on the floor, we get a pointed shot of Juno separate from the two of them, not touching either of them, like a couple steps away, crying on her own. Obviously, in her own grieving process over her lost lover, but pales in comparison to the loss of, you know, your child.
Would you say, Casey, that it impales in comparison?
Ooh, I might say that if I was you. But only if I was you, because I'm not that clever to come up with that. You are. That was good.
Stupid. Thank you. But yeah, so this, a year has passed after this tragedy. The girls.
Which, I love that it's only a year, because...
it's very fresh.
Yes. If it was 5 years, it would be a little bit more, like, her breakdown, her very sudden breakdown wouldn't seem quite as earned. I mean, obviously, I can't really say anything. I've never lost a child. But 1 year is not a lot of time to get over something like that. And her friends...
losing the two most important people in your life.
Your whole family. That's your whole family. Yeah. And so, you can tell she's very reluctant to be on this trip, but the girls are trying to pump her up. And it is... I won't say, like, they're forcing her or anything, because this is probably what I would try to do if I was a friend. I would, you know, plan a trip with something. This is something she really loved doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to get that feeling back.
Mm-hmm.
So they are driving to this little cabin, these little cabins, because they are going to go spelunking. If you've never seen this movie, this is a cave movie. And I don't even think I would like going in one of those caves where you just walk down the big stairs and it's like a big open area.
I did that as a kid, Mammoth Cave.
Yeah.
With my papa. And it was fun. And I, you know, I think I would probably like kayak in a cave. But like, these are like, I'm thinking of like the caves that you have a chipper little tour guide. I'm not going to be down there alone. I'm not going to be having any chance of rope burn or creatures.
Even with a tour guide, some smaller areas, I would not like being underground. I think, like, I have claustrophobia, and it's not as severe as some people's, but specifically underground. Like, tight spaces, yes, but the thought of being underground in a tight space is, like,
horrifying.
My absolute worst fear. I've already told everyone that I know and love, like, you know, my mom, Jeff, the people who have any kind of say over me after I die, if I go first, please, please cremate me. I don't want to be in a box in the ground. I don't want to be in a box in the ground. That sounds horrifying. Even after death, please don't do that to me. So
make me into a tree.
Yeah.
I want a green burial.
I love that. So very, very tense if you are claustrophobic. Jeff had a hard time watching this.
I'm super claustrophobic.
He was so tense the whole time. There were several times that he was just like, oh, I don't like that. Like, mm-hmm. and not even necessarily the creature scene.
No, I mean, the first tunnel scene that we get is horrifying. It's one of the scariest movie. It's one of the scariest moments in the whole movie. Excuse me. And truly, I'll die on that hill.
Truly, it's so. We go down. We get these really beautiful shots of them, like lowering themselves down into this open area, and then they start walking around.
There's like a pointed shot that shows that Juno did not bring the map to the caverns.
Yes, one thing they have been. One of the girls, I can't remember what her name is. It's Juno's protege. She has been complaining that Holly has been complaining that they are going to a tourist trap, very kitschy,
boring.
Yeah, Borum Caverns. She says it's more like boring caverns. Mm-hmm. But Juno very pointedly does leave the Borum Caverns book in the car when they go. And as soon as they careen down into there, I'm like, this ain't no tourist, nothing.
No.
I would immediately be like, where the fuck did you bring me?
That one girl's like, I am a science teacher, not fucking Tomb Raider. Not
fucking Tomb Raider. I love all their accents.
Me too.
It's very Scottish-ish movie.
Also, there has to be a Dyke climber. I love.
Love.
I mean, I don't love Holly. I think she's kind of the worst. And, yeah, she I mean, does. She's, her and Juno should just, you know, I don't know, scissor in the afterlife.
I was just going to say, go scissor each other somewhere else.
But I love it when she was talking about, like, her sexuality, and she's like, I'm a sports fuck. And yeah. I was like, I don't think that's funny terminology.
I do like that. So, yes, yeah. We do very early on get this scene where they have to crawl through a very narrow space, one by one. Sarah is last. Sarah freaks out.
Fuck out and gets stuck.
One of my favorite lines of the entire movie, because she is freaking out, Beth crawls back that way to coach her through it, and she says,
what are you afraid of? What are you so afraid of? You can move! Sarah, look at me. Look at me. Listen, the worst thing that could have happened to you has already happened, okay? And you're still here.
And I still get chills every time I hear that, and it just, like, it is the, like, that makes sense. Like, the worst thing that could have happened to her isn't death. It's the death of her child and the love of her life, specifically her young daughter.
Yeah.
And she already lived through that, you know? So she's like, what are you so afraid of? I just love the way that it's such a real thing that a real person would say in that. You know what I mean? Like, a true friend that has known somebody for as long as they've probably known each other. And, but then it does start shifting and shit starts falling. So she freaks out for no reason at first. And then, yes, it does start to collapse. And they end up losing one of their go bags, which is
full of a bunch of rope
equipment, rope, carabiners, things like that. Not good. So they lost that. And now they're all freaking out because that was their way back.
Fucking legs.
Yeah.
That was the most horrendous, like, scene in the movie for me. It was terrifying.
It is a hard-to-watch scene because it's long and you are... 100% of the sets in this movie were artificially built, because obviously for them being in a cave is too dangerous and 100%. Difficult. And props to the fucking set designers, because not once do you not feel like you're in a cave. The lighting, the stalactites, the way everything feels so fucking small, and they have to make it look smaller than it is because they have a bunch of filming equipment even in these fake places. Mm-hmm. So they're making it seem even tighter of a space than it is, and it's not just the actors' fear selling it, it's the production design itself that is like, no, I'm convinced that I'm in a cave watching this movie. Like, oof. You can really lose yourself in that.
Oh, 100%.
Love that.
Yeah. The whole setting of this movie is, yeah, it keeps you really wrapped in that fear in that moment of there's no way out.
Yeah.
I came down this far, but there's no way out.
And this is exactly when they realize that, because when it collapses, suddenly they're like, oh, well, there's like four exits to Borum Caverns. And one of the girls is like, yeah, but we're not in Borum Caverns, are we, Juno? And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't have that book because we didn't need it. And this is a new cave that no one has ever fucking explored. First of all, no. I don't want to do the ones that are explored. That is the most selfish fucking thing in the world. Juno is the worst fucking person. And that's part of the reason I don't like the second movie, too, is because she has a redemption arc that I do not fucking like.
She has a redemption?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, spoiler alert for the second one.
No, it's Juno okay.
Juno lives, and she's in the second one. So.
Ugh. It makes me want to watch it even less.
I know. You get more of the cave people. That's really cool. You got some really cool deaths, and Sarah's being a badass. Those are the really good things I can say about it.
Okay.
But it's a contrived plot where she wouldn't go back down there. Like she forgets or something. It's just not great. Hmm. So
they see this giant cavern, and they have to somehow get across it, and I remember they dropped a rock and it just went. And I was like, no.
Nope.
Couldn't be me.
I think, doesn't one of them go, thanks, now I know how deep it is? Or was that just in my mind?
No, someone was like, thanks for that. And I was like, I'd want to fucking know.
I don't know if I'd want to know. At a certain point, it's like, it doesn't matter how much further it goes than that. Because
I mean, if I fall.
At this point is death. Anything below that. So, because they have lost one of the bags, they have to make a rope thingy with carabiners across the chasm to the other side. And they don't have a whole lot of equipment that they're working with. Sorry, I'm sure you could. Guys! Sorry. No one else is here to tell the dogs to shut the fuck up, so. They end up across the cat. It's not Juno that does it, because Juno's last.
I can't remember.
I want to say it's the older sister. So there's an older sister and a younger sister that are there, and I can't remember their names, but they're...
Rebecca
and...
There's Juno, Rebecca, Holly, Sarah, Beth.
And then there would be the sixth.
Bad.
I do too, because she's very sweet. She's the doctor one. She's gonna be a doctor. Well,
I don't was gonna be name. A
doctor.
But
do you mind looking it up?
Not at all.
Sorry. So anyway, I think it's the older sister, which would be Rebecca, I believe, goes across the chasm, and when she's putting her little thingies up, she notices a very, very old looking piece of equipment that's already stuck in there. And we've already discussed that this is a cave that supposedly has never been discovered and has never been named. Because at one point, Juno's like, yeah, I thought we could name it after you. And Sarah's like, yeah, or your name. Like, everybody is fucking pissed at Juno.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
That is, the whole using your upper body. She was holding on to this thing with her whole body strength. I could not...
And she has to, at one point, dangle her arm to, take a break. Oh, my God. I literally, I could not. I would fail. I cannot hold up my own body strength that long. I can't hold, no, can't do any of that.
We have Sarah, Juno, Beth, Rebecca, Sam, and Holly.
Sam is the younger sister. So, yes, Rebecca is the one that did cross the chasm. Juno does go last. While you have that up, I was thinking we were... thinking about a sci-fi month, I need you to look up the name of this 1992 space movie. Space sci-fi.
The first thing that came up, I'm assuming, is cannot be what you're talking about. That cannot...
Jeff did that to me the other day.
Were you watching my face? I said, I can't. I'm putting my phone away.
Don't go look that up, guys.
Do not.
It's Sorry. You had your phone out. I had to do it. Jeff got me the other day so good. I was like, oh, Jeffrey!
Jesus.
So anyway, sorry about that. Jonah goes last. She collects all of the... she is collecting all of the equipment in case they have to use it again for any reason. And while she's doing that, the old equipment that Rebecca used breaks. Juno falls. Is it Beth that gets her hands all fucked up? Or is it Rebecca? I think it's Rebecca.
I think it's Rebecca.
Rebecca's holding onto the rope and, oh.
If you've ever had rope burn.
Oh, but this it was. But it goes into her skin. I mean, literally, like it's a bloody tunnel through her hand. It's disgusting. The effects are gnarly.
Yeah.
Gnarly.
So yeah, they see this old equipment then.
But yes, and they do pull Juno up. She's fine.
They're like, well, shit, we're not the first people here. Not even close.
But that one of them's like, oh, that means there's got to be a way out. And that means somebody's discovered it. And somebody's like, yeah, but then it would be named. Think about that. So we're that fucked.
Maybe they discovered it, but they didn't discover the way out.
Right, exactly. Somebody's been in here, but I don't
think they got out.
I don't know if anybody been out there. So,
so they see this cave drawing, and they're like, oh, look, it's got two exits.
Yes, we're gonna... which I do like that scene, too, that I think it's, is it Sam, I think, that figures it out? Yeah. Sam is definitely the smartest.
Oh, for
Sam
sure.
Sam is so fucking smart. She finds out some of the first things about the creature. She finds out that, and she is the, like I said, the doctor that eventually ends up resetting Holly's leg in a little while, because Holly's a fucking moron and doesn't know how to listen. If someone's screaming, Holly, wait.
Maybe Holly just starts maybe wait. Freaking out and running.
But also, I would probably be really scared, too, and might not listen, so.
Because is that where they saw a creature, or is that still later?
No, that is later. This is when that's when she thinks she sees daylight. So they're trying to find their way out. Juno's using a really smart method where she, like, holds her lighter up to the tunnels to see where wind is coming through. Mm-hmm. And they're following that. And, yes, at one point, Beth is like, I see daylight, I see daylight. And they're like, Beth, no, wait. And she follows down a huge fucking hole. And
Holly,
yes.
I wrote Holly. Holly Hobbit Hole.
Holly Hobbit Hole, yes.
She falls down this hole and it is
snaps her fucking
horrifying.
Leg.
Bone all out.
It was apparently just phosphorus off the rocks that makes it look like light. And yeah, she just fucks everything up that way because now she's completely useless. Her bone sticks out. It's really great.
And, then what? I wrote poor Sarah. I mean, this girl's just fucking having the time.
Yes, Sarah does end up seeing things first. She keeps seeing little things in the distance, but of course everyone's just like, oh, Sarah, you're crazy. And I'm not sure when we get the first shot of the creature. I want to say it's coming up because it is scary.
I think it's after they somehow managed to get Holly back to them and they've stinted her as much as they can. And they start trying to move forward through the cave.
Yes. And at one point we're looking through one of their cameras that they brought with night vision along. And it pans over to, I want to say Holly. And there's a fucking creature behind it. And let me tell you about
Oh my god, the right behind scene?
Yes, where it's just standing there right behind her and it just like, fuck! It's so scary. They make dinosaur noises. Well, I don't know about dinosaur noises, but they make scary noises. And they're terrifying and they are albino and they are blind because they live in the cave. And I'm pretty sure that they're meant to just be like descendants of people, basically.
They're very bat-like to
yes.
me. They're like bat
because they've people. Evolved.
Yeah,
yes.
They're like bat people.
So one of like the evolutionary, you know, timelines of people, of like, you know, Homo sapiens, some of those branched off, went down into these caves and evolved into this. And so that's... They are, they hear really well, they use echolocation, but they're completely blind, because of course, why would they need to evolve to see down in the caves?
Yeah.
You can't see shit. And that's, their design is so...
Ugh, slimy.
Slimy! Yes, that is such a good word. And then, yeah, these milky white eyes, and their skin is, like, white, but it's got, like I don't even know, like almost an eggshell kind of. It's disgusting. I hate them.
They but literally I love do them. Look like.
They're so scary. Such a cool design. Instantly iconic. And pretty sure Holly gets mauled immediately.
Yes.
She's the first one to go. That's fine.
Like, and there was a point that was really, like, wild. One of them, like bounced off of Juno's back and, like, leapfrogged over. I was like, what the fuck?
Yes.
It was so crazy.
And chaos happens, and this is our first major split.
Yes. Sarah started running, right?
Mm-hmm. Sarah ran immediately because she's smart. Sam and Rebecca are together, of course, because they're...
And then
sister.
Juno was, you know, starting to try to kill the monsters, and
Juno's badass.
She is badass.
Oh my god!
Juno's kicking ass. Too much ass.
She starts. I mean, killing the fuck out of these things. I mean, just straight murdering.
She broke one's neck.
She is such a badass, and then to the point where
she was in like Kill Bill mode, like bah, 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 bah. To Beth.
Right in the neck with a fucking pickaxe. That's not good.
Oh.
It's not good.
As she was holding on to, like, Juno, like, as she was falling to the ground, she, like, got her a hold of her necklace. And that's how we got that necklace that, like, Juno, we noticed her, like, kissing it earlier before they go into the cave.
And we do not know what it says on the back of it yet, but we do know that Paul had a saying. Was it live each day or love each day or...
Love each day.
Yeah. It was like his thing. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
We already spoiled it.
But. So, yeah, she stabbed her in the fucking neck and Beth's like, don't leave me. And she just backs away into the darkness and leaves Beth there.
Listen, accidents happen. That is a very fucked up thing to happen. But I understand that it was 1,000% an accident. And a reaction to a situation that no one has ever been in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These are monsters. You reacted. Where you fucked up, Juno, was leaving your friend to die alone.
As she's bleeding out of her throat.
And begging you not to.
Yeah. You couldn't have just stayed there.
Like, wow. Yeah. That's kind of shitty. So,
we cut to Rebecca and Sam next, right?
Yes. So, Holly and Beth are dead.
Yes.
Rebecca and Sam are...
Well, we think Beth's dead. Holly and Beth are...
Yeah. Dead. So, yes. I think this is when Rebecca and Sam are kind of, like, laying together.
And holding each other.
Very sweet moment. It is very sweet. I love their relationship so much.
They're, like, watching, like, the creatures... And then, like, one of their watches alarm starts going off. So they fucking threw it, and the creature just runs over and, like, boops it with his nose.
I love that.
I was like,
because, oh yes, gosh. They are starting to realize that they can't see, but they can hear very well.
Mm-hmm.
So they know if they stay still and quiet, they'll be fine. There's a really badass moment in a little while where Sarah... comes out of, like, this bloody water, and she, like, lays her head down on this rock, and this thing is looking for her and steps on her head, and she just stays completely still. She's such a fucking badass.
So fucking badass.
I want a Descent video game where I get to play as either Juno or Sarah.
I will happily sit there and watch you play.
I would play that all
the time. I would be too scared. I get so, you know, I love horror video games, but I get so scared.
I love
watching people play them.
Well, and that's part of the reason that we do love horror video games is because it's something that can still scare us, and most movies don't nowadays.
Yeah, because I really put my whole self into it, and I'm like, I become the character, because I'm like, I'm controlling them. I am them, you know? And then I'm like, I don't want to die.
I died.
And part of the game, you have to, like... like, maneuver through tunnels and caves.
Yeah.
Sounds horrifying. Yeah. Anyways, we cut back.
Yeah, so after... Yeah, go
ahead. This is where Sarah finds Beth.
Is this already? Yeah okay. Yeah. So, yeah, which would make sense because she's not going to have long.
We got through a scene of Juno killing some more.
Yep. And then, dudes. And like we said, Rebecca and Sam getting away from them. And she hears, I want to say, Juno calling out. And Rebecca's like, she's going to bring all those things down on her head. And Sam just goes, as long as it's not down on mine. Like, felt.
Right. So, yeah, we get a reunion shortly after that of Rebecca, Sam, and Juno.
Good jump scare when Sarah finds Beth. Because she, like, like, it's so many good jump scares. Obviously, gosh, this is a jump scare heavy movie.
Oh, poor but fucking Beth. But the best kind.
But yes, Beth is still kind of alive, which really sucks. Sarah's like, I'm gonna go get Juno, and we're gonna help you, and blah, blah, blah. And, Sarah, or Beth chokes out, don't trust Juno. And she shows her the necklace that she, grabbed from Juno, which she knows Juno's because it's a little feather. But then on the back, it says, live each day or love each day or whatever. And Beth says, it's from Paul. And fucking Sarah's face, she just like, you can tell she like in that moment, you can tell she like knew deep down, but it's that like verification, it's that like solid like, damn it, my best friend and my husband, my dead husband. And so then, I was gonna say then Beth dies, but that's not actually what happens. She does die, but she doesn't just die. Can you imagine having to kill your friend out of pity because they're dying and they don't want to be in misery anymore?
I mean, ooh, she picked up the rock and she did the Lord's work.
She did.
She's like, this is a one take. I'm not going to let her suffer anymore. But also, like, wouldn't you want to go that way? I would rather my friend kill me than be...
That's why she begged her.
...mauled by those creatures.
It sucks to be the person...
That has to do
that
it.
That has to do it.
Especially with how much Sarah has already been through.
Oh my god, I know. So yes, we do after that get a reunion of all the peoples. Or no, because it is just Juno, Sam, and Rebecca, because they end up back at the chasm.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, this scene is so fucking good. Sam is halfway across the chasm when a crawler, I think is what they're called, typically, is crawlers, is, like, on the ceiling thing above her and, like, starts attacking her. And then...
Yeah,
Rebecca...
It slits her throat,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does slit her throat, and she's just kind of like just backwards.
Oh.
And then it jumps over to Rebecca and eviscerates her stomach. I mean, just right in her tum-tum. Just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, people are dying rapidly at this point.
Yes, very rapidly, one after another. Juno sees all of this.
Her hanging upside down like that was very, like, Hostile 2 to me.
Yes.
And it's just unnatural seeing just a blood body pouring like down. That, you know?
Do they fall down the chasm at this point into the water?
Yes.
Yes. Juno falls down because she's fighting with the crawlers, but she does kill them all. And then that's when we get our Juno-Sarah reunion, which is very... Sarah looks like Carrie at this point. Looks like Carrie White because she is drenched in blood.
And the contrast between the dark blood and her blue eyes.
The craziest eyes I've ever seen. Her eyes are all wide and...
She's like... Juno's like, what happened to you?
So much. So
what do you think, bitch? You guys have been in a cave being attacked by creatures. What the fuck do you think happened to her?
She asks. She's like, Rebecca and Sam. And Juno goes, no. And she very pointedly goes, Beth? And Juno goes, she says, you saw her die. And she goes, yes. And Sarah just goes, come on. Like, fuck. Because now we know the truth. We know that Sarah knows the truth. And Juno just lied straight to her face. Just confirmed everything.
At this point, Juno has to know that she knows.
So.
Of course, she's not going to admit to it. She doesn't admit to anything.
Yep. So they are trying to find their way out, which at this point, I might just give up.
Right. I mean, there's like these disgusting, bloody, like fucking swampy rivers.
There's mountains of bones.
Mountains of bones. There was dead human wolves and creatures. Because
yeah. Like, they do go up. The creatures will go up into the woods and hunt and bring them back down. I don't know if we learned that in this one or the second one.
I mean, they have to come from somewhere. Exactly. So it makes sense. But it's horrifying to think about. Yes. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get to this point where we see a little bit of light.
We get some more awesome fight scenes. And the fight scenes are so well choreographed.
They're so good.
The creature actors, the crawlers, were actually not played by stunt performers mainly, which normally creatures actors treat. If there's a bunch of creature actors like this, typically stunt performers, because that makes it easier on the cast, because they don't have to then hire in stunt performers for the stunts for the creatures. These were mainly played by actors because the writer-director wanted each creature to kind of feel like its own. And I really think they do. They do kind of look and feel like their own kind of thing. And
there we get was one some that lady like it had ones. Like, yeah.
It just, like, it's very, like, each design is, although very similar, I do think they all kind of have their own little personality. I don't remember where I was.
So we're getting this like final crazy fight scene. Yeah. There's a moment where.
Oh yeah. Just really well choreographed fights, especially given the fact that not a lot of these people were stock performers.
Yeah. And, we have a moment that's a pause in the fighting and we just have a moment of Sarah and Juno looking at each other and Sarah.
Because they've defeated all the ones around them, but there's a whole lot coming down on their heads.
And you can hear them doing their dinosaur screams.
Hordes of them.
So Sarah looks at her. She's got the pickaxe in her hand. And then she kind of just goes like this with her fingers. And the necklace just drops.
Yep, just kind of dangles down. And yeah, I do love the way that this scene is shot. It's just slightly below head on. Looking up just slightly to where it's, like, a little distorted.
Yeah.
On both of them. And, like, it'll shoot back and forth. And, yeah, just the contrast, not only with the blue of her eyes, but the whites
mm-hmm.
are so white in contrast, too. Because she already had kind of strawberry blonde hair. She really does look like Carrie.
She looks fucking insane.
Just drenched in blood. And, yeah, the crazy in this woman's eyes. Like, kudos to this actor, because I've never seen such crazy eyes.
And you just see the fucking guilt.
And
flush over Juno's face.
Just that, like, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
And, Sarah, good on you, girl. I might have done the same thing. She takes her fucking pickaxe, slams it into the side of Juno's fucking knee.
Mm-hmm. Right through. Right through.
Leaves her there to die.
And just runs. And to Juno's credit, she doesn't try to run away. She doesn't throw the axe back. She takes it out of her knee and she faces toward the horde of them coming and just like prepares to fight. And,
respect.
If you haven't seen the second one, you'd be very fucking surprised to find out that yes, she does survive till the second movie. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it. Never mind.
Sarah, like, passed. She was trying to climb up this bone mountain to get to the light and out of
also,
the hill.
Also, one of my favorite shots in the entire movie is this shot, because it's very far back, and it's literally a mountain of bones that she's crawling up toward this light, and just her, like, caked in this dried blood. It is so cool. And then we get a straight zombie shot, basically, of, like, her hand shooting up out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, oh, so good.
And she's just in this, back in the stunning forest. And
I love when she gets, like, her head out of the ground, she, like, almost like she couldn't breathe. You know what I mean? Like, she takes in such a deep breath, like she was holding her breath underwater or something like that. And I just, like, that's how you feel as the viewer.
In that moment.
Because this is the first time in 45-ish minutes that we have been in the open, and you can you can breathe. It is light. It is open. You're back in the woods.
She it's just crazy. Starts like fucking sprinting.
Like, good on her for finding her way back to the car. I never would have.
I was so impressed.
She does, though, and luckily they left the keys in the car. Thank God it's not like down in the chasm with or like hanging there with Sam or with Juno. Juno's like, but I have the keys.
But I drove.
That's funny. So yes, she does get back to the car. She drives out like a fucking bat out of hell. And
gets far enough away to where she like pulls over to like
cry and process. Throw up.
I was like, how dare they give us another Final Destination moment with the goddamn log truck. She was pulled over on the road. He didn't have to honk at her like that.
Yeah, he honked and it was like a one last, well, not even one last jump scare. Because then she looks over into the passenger seat and there's like a visage of Ghost Juno. And then she like screams and the movie ends. If you saw the U.S. theatrical release, if you got the home release with the alternate ending, or if you were in the U.K. and you saw it, the truck honks and it, instead of ending, it flashes back to she wakes up at the bottom of that like Bone Mountain thing. It's not a way out, and she sees a visage of her daughter, and there's a birthday cake between them. And her, there were six candles, or there were five candles at the beginning, because she's had this vision a couple times of her and her daughter. There are five candles in every other one because it would have been her daughter's fifth birthday. But in the last scene, I think there's six candles to represent the six women that have died, because then they blow the candles out. But the scene change, like cuts, and you see Sarah sitting there, and the cake is actually her torch, and there's obviously not a little girl there. And you hear the hordes of them like coming for her, and that's how the UK one ended. But then viewers thought it was too sad. So then they tacked on the alternate ending to the U.S. release, which is the really one that I saw. I like that ending better, but it does open up for the sequels, which I think if they had used the U.K. ending, probably would have been a little harder.
Yeah, unless they completely changed a storyline or something. But
which probably would have been better if they were going to make a sequel. I would have rather seen that. Then Sarah go back down in there, and then Juno's still alive, but then neither of them end up living.
I can think of no fucking reason why Sarah would ever need to go back in there.
She, like, gets amnesia, and so they, like, take her back down in there to find the missing, other missing girls, because they don't realize they're dead.
I'd be like, bro, they're paid search and rescue.
Right.
I'm not going back down
there. It's very contrived that they take her back down there. But anyway, that is The Descent. And it is so fucking good. Yes. It is scary to this day. It is something that will, it's the kind of movie that will hold up and will stand the test of time. It is not of its time. It is complete. It's timeless. It really does feel timeless. It doesn't feel bogged down by shitty special effects. It doesn't feel, It feels like the kind of movie you could watch today and think, oh yeah, that came out 3 or 4 years ago. But actually, it came out almost 20 years ago now, which...
That's insane.
Fuck, I can't believe that was almost 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
It is such good storytelling. It is such good makeup work. It is such good set design. Amazing acting. Great direction. Just, like, it is pretty much a perfect movie. It is one of the greatest horror movies of all time.
I love it so much. I'm so glad that we got to talk about it finally. And
and to start off, if we're going to do a monster movie March Madness like we are, this is the movie to fucking start with, man. This is the monster. Like, I understand it's not like a classic Universal monster movie. We're not doing Universal monsters for the month of March. We're doing creatures. But these are the creatures. These are the scariest ones.
They're horrifying. Absolutely.
I love them. I think a lot of movies since then have tried to emulate that creature design and have not done it as well. I think this was just done so perfectly. I think the tone is awesome. I think it's so bleak in the best way, and it is a movie that you literally feel tense the entire time.
Oh, God, it really is something that the absolute terror has stuck with me throughout all the years since I first watched it, and every single time I watch it, it holds up. It's still great, and yeah, I'm just glad that we could start off our monster movie March Madness with The Descent.
Yes.
Yeah,
just so good. If you follow the Instagram, you should know next week is going to be Underwater, which came out in 2020, starring Kristen Stewart, whom I love, and TJ Miller, who is a comedic relief genius. I love him.
Was he Paul?
Yes. he is, if you have seen She's Out of My League, or he's been in quite a few things. He's really funny. Just overall, I really loved the movie. I loved it because I saw it in theaters. I think it was the first movie I saw in theaters when COVID restrictions got lifted.
Nice.
And I love Kristen Stewart. And let me tell you what, it's a monster movie. So we will be covering that next week. Go watch it. I think it's on Hulu. Pretty sure most of y'all have fucking Hulu. So go watch it ahead of time.
Yes.
And before or while or during or after you do that, at some point, go do this. Go follow us on all of our social medias, on Instagram at Barely Living Dreadful and our TikTok at Barely Living Dreadful also. The TikTok, a lot of our videos have been muted for some reason because of copyright issues with the sound, even though they weren't to begin with. So I'm looking into that.
So fucking annoying.
So I'm so sorry if some of our, like, even the Steel video, the one of you bathing Steel, the sound is completely muted.
I don't understand why it would suggest, that was literally the suggested sound for the video.
So I think I just need to go through and change some of the sounds, because I think if you just change it to a different one.
That's so stupid.
I guess some things change with it. But anyway, so if you notice that on a bunch of our videos, we're trying to change that. So, but go follow them. Go to the YouTube, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, Barely Living Dread Girls, of course. And barelylivingdreadful@gmail.com if you have comments, questions, concerns, requests. We're going to do some themed months coming up. So I think next we're going to be doing the spring slasher season or slasher spring. So if you have any suggestions of obscure slasher movies, I don't necessarily just want to do a week of Halloween, a week of Freddy. I want to do obscure, shitty 70s slashers. At least a couple of them. So yeah. Send me your suggestions. Yeah, please do that at the email. And then in the meantime, stay spooky.
Bye.